In the gospel reading today, St. Matthew begins by saying that this is the book of the origin of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it's interesting for two reasons. That first of all, it brings us down, of course, to St. Joseph. So on the physical aspect of things, it has absolutely nothing to do with our Lord, because St. Joseph is not his physical, biological father. Secondly, it's the feast of St. Joachim, the father of our Blessed Lady. And instead, we have the genealogy of St. Joseph. So it seems a little strange when you look at it that way. But when we look at it from a different perspective, we have to remember that according to Jewish law, when a woman who was with child would cross the threshold of her husband, at that moment the child in her womb legally became his child. So even though biologically our Lord is not the child of St. Joseph, legally he is. And consequently, this is a legal genealogy, which becomes very important because it is the genealogy ultimately of why Jesus is the king. Because you'll notice how it comes down through David and then through the line of kings. And so St. Joseph would have been the king. Jesus followed from that. So again, very important in that way. It also then puts the whole thing into context for us. Even looking then at St. Joachim as we celebrate today, we say, well, once again, what does this have to do with Joachim? Well, nothing in particular, as far as anything specific. And yet at the same time, it puts it into context as to what God is doing. We don't have the background on our Blessed Lady as far as her genealogy goes. And yet at the same time, what we see that God was establishing is that our Lord was going to be the king as far as the earthly reign of Israel goes. And from our Blessed Lady's side, he is the king as far as the spiritual part goes. He is the king of the universe. He is God. And so that's where this becomes important with regard to St. Joachim. We hear about the man who isn't getting pulled aside by money and treasures and so on. That's because St. Joachim chose the greatest treasure and therefore was given the greatest treasure. He chose to serve the Lord, and it must have been very heartbreaking for he and St. Anne that they weren't able to have any children, and yet his fidelity remained unswerving. And in that fidelity, he once again chose to serve God and to serve his wife. God ultimately rewarded that with the gift of our Blessed Lady, who is, of course, the Mother of God. So you recognize the pattern of what happens in the spiritual life, that there is an awful lot of suffering and purification that happens before the ultimate thing that God is doing in somebody's life is brought forth. So you think about what it is, and you could say if there was anybody on the face of the earth who could literally be proud, when you could say that my daughter is without sin and she is the mother of God and my grandson is God, you can understand why St. Joachim and St. Anne had to go through so much suffering before all of this happened. Because being proud was not something that would be acceptable. They had to be humble. So on one hand, when we see how all this was set up ultimately for our Lord, that if Our Lady was going to ultimately marry the king, and then when her son becomes the king and she is the queen of Israel, and of course she is elevated to be the queen of heaven, once again you see the necessity of the humility. Because otherwise, the pride that could be there would be detrimental to everything that God was doing. So we look at our own background, and if you look at this background and that is there for the legal genealogy of our Lord, you will recognize that there are some pretty impressive people in there, and there are some horribly wretched people in there. There are some circumstances that most families traditionally would say, well, we want to hide this. We don't want anybody to know all of this. This is the baggage. Well, it's right there in black and white. And if anybody knows the background that's there in Scripture, yeah, this isn't always something you're going to be real proud of and say, wow, guess who my relatives are? And yet, that's exactly what God used. Some people that are not too impressive, some circumstances that were anything but moral, to be able to bring about the people who would actually be in this genealogy, leading right down to the great Saint Joseph, and ultimately then the kingship of Jesus. So when we look at it that way, and we might look at our own genealogy at some point, we will recognize the same thing. There are probably some pretty impressive people in your genealogy, and there are probably some not so impressive people in your genealogy. But the fact that there are some people that aren't so impressive certainly does not mean that you cannot be. Some people get stuck in that. Well, if this is how things are in my family, I have to be that way. It's like, no, you don't. Look at the greatness of Saint Joseph and you look at some of his relatives. God is calling you to be a saint no matter who your relatives are. And so, yes, you can look up to the great ones. You don't have to be too proud of some of them. And yet at the same time, it's to recognize that God used these very people to bring you into the world. And he's using you to bring your children and ultimately grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on into the world if that's how he chooses to work. So none of this is wasted. And even the people who didn't look too impressive in that list, they're people that God used. There are people that he raised up to bring about the very people that he wanted to be able to lead us right down to Saint Joseph. So as we celebrate Saint Joachim and recognize once again, as we saw with Saint Anne, the importance of grandparents and the glory that God has given to them, we also recognize that this is in an even bigger thing. Yes, you can glory in your grandchildren, and you should. And yet you have to recognize that you and they are one part of a line that God is working with to be able to bring souls to him, to make saints, to be able to help people to become holy. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for your descendants after you. And so pray for them, and certainly because we don't know necessarily what happened to some of the people that came before you, pray for your ancestry. But pray for those who are going to follow as well, even if they haven't been born yet, even if they're still generations away. We don't know who God is going to raise up through your family. Again, look at that genealogy, and some of the people that were in there probably wouldn't say, oh, from my family, we're going to have the Messiah. Yeah, they're not going to be looking at it that way. But God was. So you don't know who he's going to be raising up in your family. You don't know what saints he has prepared that are going to come from you and from your children and their children and so on. So pray for them. Pray that they will cooperate with the grace of God. Pray that they will grow in holiness to become the great saints that he wants. But in the meantime, strive to be that yourself. Our Blessed Lady didn't come from parents who were not holy. And so God wants each one of us to be holy. And he wants our children and our grandchildren to be holy. In a world, as I'm sure all of you know way better than I, because you're living it, with so many falling away from the Lord and falling away from his church because of the being caught up in the world or being scandalized by some of the horrible things that happen, People are walking away. They're losing sight of what it is that God is calling them to. What the world and the church need more than anything right now is saints. And God is calling each one of us to be that. So regardless of how glorious or inglorious your genealogy might be, it doesn't matter. God has used those people to bring you about. And He is using you to bring about others. But in all of it, He is using it to bring souls to Himself. That's ultimately what He wants. What He wants of somebody in this life, that's entirely up to Him. But regardless of that, every last one of us, He wants to be in heaven. And so He's giving everybody the grace. And as people reject that grace and bring great heartache to their parents and grandparents, it should make us pray even more to be able to be that one, maybe that somebody 5 or 10 generations from now can look back at and say, that one was a truly holy person. That's the crown jewel in our genealogy. Hopefully they can do that as they point to you, to be able to say that's the reason why our family got back on track and why we were able to be faithful to the Lord, because that person was praying for us. That person was the example. That person is the one who first cooperated in this profound way and laid the foundation for the rest of us. So for all of us, even if, like with me, obviously, the genealogy ends at me, but I have siblings and things carry on from there. And so we pray, even if there's no generation following after, you can still pray for the previous generations. You can pray for the others that are part of your family and how that genealogy is going to carry through as well. That way, we recognize again that maybe that's what God is doing in our lives, forming us to be able to be the saint that He's calling us to be, so that we can give Him the greatest glory and we can be of support to the others. So regardless of what it is that you do and how you do it as far as this life goes, put the focus on God. Because it doesn't matter what your job is, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it doesn't matter whatever. What matters is that you cooperate with God's grace and become the saint that God is calling you to be.